right. How much fun was that? Yeah, what a privilege. So it's warm in here, yeah. We checked in on our air conditioning unit, and it said I'm doing the best I can, so. It's all right. We can step out of first world problems for a couple minutes. What a privilege just to worship the Lord. I don't know if you felt the same thing I felt, which was I just kind of want to stay in that pocket for a long time. Jesus, we just give you your rightful place right now as the head of the church. Lord, I believe in the church. I believe in this thing that you built. I believe in what you began. And we want to be a people that are governed by you, under your headship, under your authority. Lord, we also want to be a people that have the courage to look at the difficulty in Scripture, to embrace it as well as the things that are fun and beautiful. Lord, I want the worship that we just gave, when we pour out our adoration and we say, worthy is the name, and all hail King Jesus, and be lifted high. We want all of those things to be validated by lives that prove it. We don't want to just offer worship with our lips and then have our hearts be far from you. Oh, Lord, if I'm honest, I think we're at a moment in culture and in time, or at least I feel like you're requiring of us to come back to a deeper devotion. And Holy Spirit, we need your guidance to know how to do that. Lord, there's nothing I'm going to say that's going to change this room or shift lives, but what you reveal will. You're the guide, you're the teacher. So Lord, we've set our eyes to the text with a humility and with a passion to know you. That we would systematically move towards being people that are just undone before you because of our love for you. Because we've experienced your love for us. Amen. So we're going to pick back up in Jude. In the one and only chapter, we'll start with verse 5. As you can already agree, Jude has teeth. I'm not sure that I expected when we dove into Jude. I read it, but it didn't really connect with me how appropriate it is for this time and season in America, in the world, and in the church. Sometimes when we deal with really difficult, toothy parts of Scripture, it's important to understand the goal of the text. There can be a danger in just sitting in these pockets and feeling the heaviness and the weight without knowing where it's leading us. Does that make sense? How many understand when you take a really hard hike or climb, in your mind, it's the view at the top that makes it worth the pain? Unless you just love pain. But a lot of times you know that you're getting somewhere, you're heading somewhere, your trajectory will take you to a place that there's a payoff on the other end of it where you're like, wow, that's amazing. And you understand that unless you're willing to endure the difficulty, you don't get to see that. So there's a thing inside of us. I don't even know if we're conscious that it happens, but there's something inside of us that's telling us it's worth it. And not everybody will do it. And then we kind of pump ourselves up, be like, yeah, not everybody will do this. Where are they? This trail's not full. Let's go. Because we understand the reward is worth the difficulty. I think it is the same with Scripture. If we're in a time in America that scares me in the church because the majority of the American church wants to hear things that are sweet and feel good. Man, church, that's not going to grow us. They are helpful encouragements, I have no problem with when we come across them to just delight in them. I think there's a gross weakness if we cannot embrace the difficulty of the kingdom. Discipleship was never to be something that was to be appropriated without discipline. The word disciple means a learner under discipline. So by definition, there's the idea of surrendering yourself to a process. That process is not described by us, it's described by Him. You and I are not leading ourselves. We are being led. And if we are leading ourselves, we're not following Jesus. I know these are terrifying statements, but it is the truth. This same one that we call King of Glory will say to the disciples around Him, unless you're willing to eat my flesh and drink my blood, you can't be part of me. And He didn't explain what it meant. He just left it and walked away. Gave them a moment where they could go, I'm out. This is crazy. This dude is certifiable. So I want to take a look at verses 21 and 24 real briefly, just to help us understand where Jude is taking us. Verse 21 will say this, live in such a way that God's love can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in His mercy is going to give you. Live in such a way that God can bless you as you wait for the eternal life that our Lord Jesus Christ in His mercy is going to give you. I want you to consider this phrase, that God can bless you. What it tells us is that and this is what Jude is leading his reader into. There's a desire in the heart of God to bless us. That's what He wants. His passion is to pour out blessing, goodness, mercy. That's actually who He is. And His statement back to the disciples and to us as the church is, live in a way so I can do what I want to do for you. That tells me that my life pattern, my behavior choices, either invite the blessing of God or withhold the blessing of God. And some of us don't love that responsibility index to say, what do you mean? It means that He already said, I want to bless you. Now, do you want to live in a way that I can do it? Jude's really inviting them into an understanding that there's a danger in believing it doesn't matter how I live. And that's what we're going to deal with today. But then I love that he, in verse 24, he will push their attention to the right thing. He says, and now, all glory to God who is able, say that with me, able. It means that He has both the want to and the power to keep you from stumbling. And who will bring you into His glorious presence, innocent of sin and with great joy. How do we get this? How are we so blessed and benefited that the King of Glory says, I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm going to take your sin. I'm going to remove it from your record. And then I'm going to show you how to live. And then I'm going to bless you for doing how I showed you, even though the way I showed you is the right way to live, so you get where you're supposed to go. And then on the other side of that, I'm going to walk you into the presence of heaven, and I'm going to celebrate who you are. That's what we're living in. That's the desire in the heart of God. So you can see why the enemy will work so aggressively to shift the lens and make it about religion and make it about requirement and make it about do's and don'ts, because he understands what's really going on is this incredible, loving God who says, I have such depth in my heart for you. Let me show you how to live. What Jude's really saying is, I just want you guys to learn to live in alignment with the heart of God. His heart is to bless you. And I want to teach you to stay connected to Jesus, because He's the only one that can keep you from stumbling. Yes. Your discipline, my discipline, your accountability group, your leaders, your teachers, whatever it is, they can't keep you from stumbling. Jesus can. Yes. If there's anything in us that leads people to follow us instead of Him, we should never be leading. The King of Glory is to be followed. My role in this is just to go, hey man, follow Jesus. Your role, to parents, to your kids, is, hey, I want to show you how to follow Jesus. That's what we're really doing here. I'm not showing you how to follow me. I'm going to do my best to model a life you can pattern, but at the end of it, I'm just going to go, it's really him. He's the answer. He's the solution. That's what Jude will say here. And what Jude begins to write about, we're going to look at verses 1 through 4 and then look at 5 through 7. He's warning this young church about the dangers of embracing wrong teaching and wrong theology. How many understand that just because you thought it doesn't mean it's true? Just because you believe it doesn't make it right. And that's what Jude will deal with here is that we have to have a discipline to stay close to healthy kingdom teaching. So let's pick up in verse 1. I'm gonna give us context, then we're going to dive in. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Christ and a brother of James. I'm writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father and the care of Jesus Christ. May you receive more and more of God's mercy, peace, and love. Dearly loved friends, I had been eagerly planning to write to you about the salvation we all share, but now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the truth of the good news. God gave this unchanging truth once for all time to his holy people. Now I say this because some godless people have wormed their way in among you, saying that God's forgiveness allows us to live immoral lives. The fate of such people was determined long ago, for they've turned against our only master and Lord, Jesus Christ. What Jude's targeting is he's aiming to correct the false teaching of these godless teachers. And we dealt with that a couple weeks ago, what this godlessness was. What they were saying was that God's forgiveness is so far-reaching, there's no need to live with caution nor care. Purity doesn't matter as described in the scriptures according to their doctrine. If we understand what Jude is combating, it helps us know how to discern what he's writing to us. What Jude is really highlighting in these teachers is their lack of personal government by God. They're not allowing God's authority to trump what they believe. Instead, they're superimposing what they believe above what God says. So this becomes the root understanding of immorality for us. And everything Jude wants to teach is rooted in this. I'd say it this way so we understand. The unwillingness to come under God's authority is the beginning of an immoral life. As strong as that is, let's vet it out. The unwillingness to come under God's authority, what do I mean? The way God says to live. And so often right now in our culture, what we believe we will superimpose above what God says. Or we'll figure out a way to interpret the scriptures in a way that fits our belief set. Church, that's not discipleship. Discipleship is coming to him, presenting yourself, saying, you're the king of glory, you're the boss, I'm not. Even if I don't like it, I will surrender to your leadership. I'll trust you with the areas I don't understand. If we have to understand it to follow it, then we have no faith. There is a fundamental paradigm in following Jesus, and it is that some of these things I'm going to have to lean into without knowing it for sure because I trust him. A lot of those areas deal with our belief set on daily life. Right now, we live in a culture that is there's an attempt to reduce any kind of absolute value and say, to your own self, be true. Absolute. There's no such thing as absolute truth. Jude is combating that very thing. And what Jude's going to remind them of in verse 5 is a dangerous assumption that was rooted into the teaching that God's favor and kindness gives license without expectation. Consider our culture right now with that concept. There's a massive disconnect in our culture right now between the love of God, God is love, and the reality that God is also the giver of the divine standard. What do I mean? You have people who are having a hard time. How could a loving God send people to hell? So they come up with a doctrine that says there's no such thing as hell. Sounds super cool, but it's not biblical. The problem is we live in a culture where it's easy to take things and contort them. If you want to believe something, just look for it on the internet and it'll prove it's there. And somebody will have taken the scriptures out of context, out of the history of the church, out of the way they have been discerned through the history of the church, and they'll shift them and change them, and they'll put some validators behind them, and there's wonkiness everywhere. This is what Jude is combating, is the danger in it isn't like, oh, you're bad people. The danger is that if we follow those things, we end up off. I wanted to suggest a few ideas for you to consider, that God's judgment is right and true because he is perfect and holy. The fact that he's perfect and holy makes it impossible for his judgment to not be right and true. Therefore, his judgments are not opinions. They're not preferences. They're actually fact. When he speaks, he's not giving an idea. He can only declare truth. Everything he says, whether it's in here or whether it's whispered to your heart, he, if it's him that says it, that's a wonderful caveat. If it's him that says it, it's truth. His ways are not ideas. And if we approach God the way we, most people, when they say something to us, we consider it. And what I mean consider is we go, yeah, maybe. I wonder. If you approach God that way, you have become your own God. You are superimposing yourself above him, and you're saying, if you what you say makes sense to my mind, then I'll follow you. That is not discipleship. This is fundamentally what Jude is dealing with. Is teachers that had come in and basically had said, it doesn't make sense to us. This purity thing is too hard. God doesn't care about what you do with your morality. He only cares about the spirit man. He reconciled the spirit man. He saved you, so live however you want. I want you to understand, when God declares something to be sin or wrong, it isn't because it bothers him. It's because he actually knows the origin of where it's from and the trajectory of where it will take us. In his kindness, he declares things so we can follow them for life. Joshua stands in front of Israel and says, there are two paths. One brings curse, one brings blessing. I don't know how you have to make the choice. Please choose blessing. But you see, to choose blessing, we have to be willing to not choose our opinion. The consequence of choosing the path of God is it will fight my belief set and it will fight my opinions, and I have to learn to surrender those and prefer him. By preferring him in faith, what I'm saying is, I don't understand this, it doesn't make sense to me, but I'm going to follow you because I know you are bigger and better than me. So in your marriages, when you want to walk away, you push pause and go, hey, Lord, I want to leave right now. I really want to leave right now. I don't understand this person you gave me. Come on. That's the moment when you push pause and say, I know what you've said about divorce. You have very clearly said I hate divorce, so therefore I have to hate divorce if you hate divorce, which means I abhor it. I put it away from myself, not because I don't feel it right now, but because you said no, and I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus, and I can't be a follower of Jesus and walk against his ways. That's discipleship. Go train. So let's pick up verse 5. I must remind you, and you know it well, that even though the Lord rescued the whole nation of Israel from Egypt, he later destroyed every one of those who did not remain faithful. Pastor Travis taught about this last week. There's a few phrases in these verses that I want to look at, and I want to really look at that phrase, who did not remain faithful. I think it helps us understand what Jude's talking about. He's calling their minds to remember the history of Israel, the history of the people of God. So for us, it's important that we look at the history of the people of God. And we consider that up until this moment, everything before us has been a type, a shadow, and something for us to learn from. The history of the people of God becomes our tutor. The good and the bad, we learn from it. Okay, so let's ask a question. I want to look at the phrase, those who did not remain faithful. Audience participation time. It's time for us to study the scriptures together. What do we think that means? Not all at once. Shout it out. It's okay. Full of faith. That's what it is to remain faithful. Okay. What does it mean to not remain faithful? What do we think it means? Walking against principles, unbelief. Come on. Doubt. Fear. Lack of repentance, that's great. Being your own authority. Complaining. Is it safe to say, just by this little micro moment, that we all understand what it means to not remain faithful? The word Jude uses here is the word believe. I love looking at some of the lexicons to see what somebody who gave their life to figure out what a single word means. And Mountsey will say it this way: to believe is to put one's faith in, trust, with an implication that the actions based on that trust will follow. So for Jude, remaining faithful is directly connected to a continual obedience to the desires of the Lord and to the revealed will of God. What is the revealed will of God? The Bible. Scriptures are the revealed will of God. So we can step into this lifestyle of blessing that Jude says the Father wants for us by following the teachings of Scripture and using them as a roadmap for living. And for Jude, this is a key element. This is why he reminds them. What he reminds them of is the Scripture. He hearkens back to the Old Testament, to the story of Israel. He's saying, you learn from the Scriptures what God did. Could I just submit that we still are called to learn from the Scriptures who he is and learn how to follow it? It's worth highlighting, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to a people who began correctly, and he's talking about a people who began correctly, and then submitted to the ideas of God, surrendered to the ideas of God, and then something happens and they go wayward. And I think we're in danger of it in this day as much as they were then, whether it's the people Jude's writing to or whether it's Israel. What happens is you step into this lifestyle of blessing and favor, and all of a sudden the blessing and favor begins to inform an identity, and we lose our pursuit of righteousness because we get comfortable. Pastor Gary used to teach this all the time when I was growing up. The people of God always handle poverty better than they do prosperity. One of them keeps them hungry for God because they need him to bail them out. And the discipline should be that no matter how well he blesses us, we stay fixated on him. I see a concern in our culture for this. We need to let this truth be a warning for us now, that we be a people who are careful to never let the blessing or the favor of God in our lives invite us or inform a willingness in us to leave his path. Let me put it in simpler terms. You have an enemy who is going to work to derail your life. And if you've got a price in your head fiscally and all you're into is the blessing of God, doing well in life, you have just told the enemy what it's going to look like to take you out. Give me a life that matches what I want, I'll walk away from the Lord. The way we succeed in this path that Jude's talking about is by staying firmly planted in our surrender to him. What do I mean by surrender? I mean, my life is not my own, therefore my desires, my appetites, my beliefs are not my own. I've chosen his, not mine. To choose his means there's an active dischoosing of mine. I and you are going to lay down desires regularly. If we ever expect to wake up and have his desires, we're probably going to fail. David will model this. He just prays, give me the desire to do your will. Why would he pray that? Because he doesn't have the desire to do his will. He just models for us. It's okay to go, hey, I don't have the desire to do your will. It's not okay to let that lack of desire be the thing that we follow. We recognize it. How do we recognize it? Because we know that through the Scriptures, it's very clearly not there. We know that through community, there's people challenging, saying, hey, this thing you're doing is fully not God. That's what Jude talks about when he talks about contending and wrestling. He's like, have the guts to fight it out with each other and say, this is sin, please stop, it's going to hurt you. The scriptures say it's wrong. Therefore, the run rate on said behavior will take you out. It means we refuse to allow anything in our lives that steps outside of the prescribed path of God. This is the definition of holiness. Holiness isn't some state we achieve. It's not like moksha in Hinduism. Holiness is a discipline to say, I have set myself apart, I will become like you because you've called me to carry your image. We need to understand Jesus is not looking for the world to know who we really are. He's actually looking for them to see him in us. You and I, according to Romans 8, have been predestined to look like Jesus. He's not worried about our true identity coming out. He's worried about us putting on his image and becoming like him in the world. It should be that we all look alike and act alike and handle the world alike. It actually should be that they would be able to say, oh, that's just another follower of Jesus. Well, how do you know? Because they act like him. It has to be, we have to be done with the season where naming Christianity is the thing that causes us to feel proud. What it should be is there should be a deep sadness in us when we don't carry his image. Because the reality is the world should be telling us we're believers, not us telling them we are. The early church was called, they were called Christians because they were called little Christs, which is what it meant. They were such followers of him that their lifestyle looked like Jesus when he was on the earth. This is the call of God on the church. Jude will go on and says, I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belong. God has kept them in chains in prison of darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. We don't have time to deal with that. I want to leave us with this phrase. Did not stay within the limits of authority, but left the place they belonged. Next week, we're going to deal with what it looks like to stay within the limits of the authority he's given us and stay where he's put us. Let's stand. We technically had time, but and then I'd be off track with the rest of the gatherings. I'm not going to do it, sorry. Plus, I feel like that's enough to digest. How many would echo with me, you feel a challenge to go, I need to look at my life and ask the question, am I really fully surrendered to Jesus in all ways? Have I embraced thought patterns of the world instead of his? Have I decided that what's going on culturally informs me more than the scriptures do? Church, as part of the human condition, it's also not part of a disciple's journey. A disciple's journey is to allow Jesus greater authority in them than anything else. And we get to be disciples. We get to be followers of Christ who walk in the fullness of the kingdom, who walk in an authority where we can go into the marketplace, lay hands on the sick, see them recover. We can step into dead people's lives, lay hands on them, see them rise. These are things that are supposed to be upon us, but those things are connected to full surrender to the King. And I would say in our day and in our time, we've never been in a place more where the world at large needs to see a church walking in the authority of the King. The world needs to see a church that is so disciplined and in love with Jesus that the outside watcher could say, ooh, you're a follower of Christ. All right, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We honor you. Holy Spirit, thanks for being with us in these toothy parts of Scripture. But Lord, we need it. Our culture is so soft right now. Would you bring discipleship back into this house like never before? A deep, ardent pursuit of the text, a passion for your presence, one that we would carry so strongly that we would discipline our lives to protect it. We carry your name. We've been given the gift to be image bearers. Holy Spirit, would you lead us in what it looks like to step into that calling? We love you. We honor you. May your face shine upon us this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. Don't forget to hit the QR code and find out what's going on. Be blessed.